We're going to get into our news now. Our featured story is all about this ISIS attack in Australia. And we're going to be very responsible tonight because we don't have all the information. But I'm going to report about the information itself, what we know about it. Because as I always say on the show, you have the world, and then you have the world as we perceive it through media. It's always like this. You have things as they're actually happening, but then you also have how these things are acted upon by media, by social media. And our big story tonight is about this terrorist attack in Australia. Two Muslims, I believe from Pakistan, a father and a son, carried out a shooting using bolt-action rifles, I think a shotgun too, at a beach in Australia, a very popular beach in Sydney, Australia, apparently during a Hanukkah celebration. So it was clearly targeting Jews, or so it seems as it stands right now. And before we get into any of the details, I want to just say in the first place, because Randy Fine, the congressman, called me out on this, I want to say in the first place, obviously, this is a horrific tragedy. And we pray for the victims. We pray for justice, that the killers are put to death or severely punished. As you know, I am extremely critical of Jews as an organized group and critical of Israel too. That being said, I am a Catholic, and I believe that it is never the solution to take the life of innocent people. And honestly, it is rarely the case to take life at all. I am against that as a Catholic. I think that every death and any death is a tragedy, especially something like this. It's obviously a horrific thing. And I would also like to add, because of the peculiar nature of things these days, I also want to reiterate, we do not support violence. We do not sympathize with people that commit acts of violence, and we never have. Because you can see very clearly in this polarized and contentious political atmosphere, they are looking to either create crises like these, manufacture them, or take advantage of them for the purpose of political control. This is always how it goes. A terrorist attack happens, a mass shooting happens, a school shooting happens. And what do they do with it? Cynical political actors use this to round up their enemies, take the guns, shut down social media, whatever it is. And I want to say that for moral reasons as well as political reasons too, we do not advocate for violence. We do not support violence, sympathize with violence. And this is where I draw a line with the left. Because it is true that a lot of these left-wing people, they actually do sympathize with these types of tactics. I saw, for example, one of these Palestinian kids. He's like a left-wing Palestinian guy. He went on Piers Morgan, and they were talking about the shooting in D.C. where some Muslims shot Jews leaving the embassy. And this Palestinian kid could not disavow the violence. He said, well, they're freedom fighters, and they say the same about Hamas. And I would say that I understand the political plight of the Palestinians, but as a Christian, I cannot condone, I cannot sanction, justify, or defend taking the life of innocent people, taking hostages, using those types of asymmetrical tactics, especially against civilians. I think it's evil and it's wicked, and I have to condemn it. So I'll say that at the outset. I saw on Twitter, Randy Fine, the representative from Florida, he got on Twitter and said, why has Nick Fuentes not said anything about the terror attack in Australia? His silence is deafening. And it's like, don't you have like a job? You're a sitting congressman. You're sitting around all weekend watching my Twitter account to see my take on it. I'm busy. I was a little busy. Like I'm the president of the United States, you know, reply hazy, ask again later. I'm busy right now, okay? So he's on my case. Well, he didn't say anything about it. I haven't tweeted in like 3 days. Anyway, so I'll say that at the outset, but I do want to get into the story. This is from the New York Times. We'll just go through some of the information here. It says, quote, the gunmen behind the mass shooting at a Jewish celebration in Sydney on Sunday were motivated by Islamic State ideology, according to Australia's prime minister. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese said the suspect appeared to have been radicalized by beliefs associated with the Islamic State militant group. Interesting. Investigators said that police had found two homemade Islamic State flags in the car that the suspects, a 50-year-old man and his 24-year-old son, drove to the site of Sunday's massacre. Police also recovered improvised explosive devices in the car. The father was a licensed holder of six firearms that were legally registered to him. The younger man was injured and remains in a coma. Officials said the son had come to the authorities' attention in 2019. As always, as is always the case. Just quick question. Have you ever heard of a mass shooter, a terrorist that was not previously known to the authorities for like 10 years? Why is it that all these people are always a known quantity, but somehow they just slip through the cracks? This person has been known to law enforcement for 6 years and apparently traveled to the Philippines, received military training, returned to the country, somehow acquired a firearm, which is very difficult to do in Australia, carries out the attack. They didn't know. I guess they were a little too focused on Joel Davis, huh? Australia's government was so busy locking up Thomas Sowell and Joel Davis and the White Australia Party. They were so busy dropping the hammer on people for criticizing Jews, for talking on Twitter, that they let ISIS slip through the cracks, because that's the focus in the country. Anyway, the article goes on. It says, the Australian news media has reported, citing unnamed police sources, that the 2019 investigation was over his links to a self-proclaimed Islamic State commander based in Sydney, who was later prosecuted for plotting a terrorist attack. Mr. Albanese vowed on Monday to toughen Australia's already strict gun laws. It's the guns. It was the guns that did it. It goes on. It says his government is also facing criticism that his government did not do enough to address increasing violence against Jewish institutions and businesses in the country before Sunday's attack. So now we need to go after free speech even more. That's always the answer. So there's a few things I have to say about this attack. First of all, let's talk about how this attack played out. These two people clearly had military training. And I'm not a military expert, but the way that they were wielding these weapons, they didn't use semi-automatic rifles. They didn't use automatic rifles. They didn't use handguns. They used bolt-action rifles, which seems to be the most cumbersome, least efficient weapon to carry out an attack like this unless you had training. They appear to be professionals. Very high body count, a lot of casualties. So this is not an amateur operation. So that raises some red flags. What's more, there is this foreign involvement. I saw some rumors floating around on X that the father and son had received military training in the Philippines. They got trained by somebody to carry out an attack like this in the months leading up to the attack. And then the third thing, of course, is that they're known to law enforcement. And you got to say to yourself, who is providing the training? Who was aware of these people and when? And the question is, if this is truly homegrown terrorism, because I believe the son was born in Australia, if this is truly homegrown terrorism, or maybe you could say it another way, it's organic in some way, shape, or form. It is actually ISIS or some other Islamist radical sect or something like that. If that is the case, why was more not done to stop these people? How is it the case that you have large numbers of these South and Western Asians living in Australia? You have this ideological problem, which is Islamism, and it is spreading. It's all over the Sahel. It's in Somalia. It is on the rise in Afghanistan and elsewhere. And these people are known to law enforcement. So how exactly does that happen? Let's say this isn't a conspiracy. Let's say it isn't an operation. How do you have Muslim guys, they're ISIS sympathizers, they're in bed with an ISIS cell in Australia. How do you let them go to the Philippines, where you do have Islamic State there, get training, come back, get a firearm? How does it get to that point? They've been known for 6 years. And the answer is quite obvious. It is because in the United States, like in Australia, Canada, United Kingdom, Europe, the government is at war with the white people. It's literally that simple. The government is so busy prosecuting a war against its own people, making sure that its own people don't stick up for themselves, don't engage in hate speech, don't organize, don't say the wrong words on Twitter. That, and this is the case across the board, they are letting these people roam the streets, whether it is an Islamist in Australia or wherever, or it is a black career criminal, a repeat offender, a 15-time felon that goes and stabs somebody or shoots somebody, whatever it is, a grooming gang, somebody that's trying to stab little girls in Scotland. The government's in our own countries are so busy waging war on their own people and the words they say and the way they choose to organize politically that they're not paying attention to these fanatics that are coming from Somalia, Pakistan, for that matter, that are coming from anywhere, that are coming from Latin America, that are coming from sub-Saharan Africa, whether they have a fanatical ideology or they're just from a primitive culture. That's if it's homegrown. On the other hand, let's talk a little bit about the media coverage of this. So it is alleged that they are Islamic State, but it's also been alleged that they're with Iran. The first thing that I saw before anybody knew anything is that this attack was carried out by an Iranian-backed group. This was from Israeli intelligence. This is from The Telegraph in the United Kingdom. This was reported in mainstream media sources. They said Israel believes that Iran was behind the attack. Well, why would Israel have an interest in saying that? Well, Israel is chomping at the bit to go to war with Iran again. And if you've been paying any attention at all, for the past several weeks, they have been talking about how Iran has rebuilt its missile arsenal. Iran has as many medium or longer range ballistic missiles today as they did before the war in June. And they've also been talking about how maybe Iran's nuclear program was not completely destroyed. And now Iran poses a threat to Israel again. So all of a sudden, once again, they're working it. They're working the angle. It was Iran. And now we need to bomb Iran. Shortly after that, there's reports that the Trump administration approves if Israel wants to retaliate against Iran for the shooting. Go figure. Sunni Muslims in Australia killed Jewish Australians, and Israel gets the green light to bomb Iran from America. And you want to tell me there's no such thing as global Jewry? There's no such thing as organized Jewry, world Jewry? They don't manipulate the situation? But they also said it was Islamic State. Like I said, Israel says it's Iran. Trump says, go ahead, punish Iran for this. Israel went ahead and violated the ceasefire with Gaza, opened up fire, killed 4 people. At the same time, however, the Australian government is saying, actually, it was ISIS. As I said at the top of the show, these are two completely different things. ISIS comes from Wahhabist, Salafist Muslim theology, which comes from Saudi Arabia, okay? There are two major sects of Islam, Shiite and Sunni. Saudi Arabia is the head of Sunni Islam because the king of Saudi Arabia is the custodian of the two mosques. And there are some important imams in Egypt and there are important imams elsewhere. But the Sunni world is on the other side of the Middle East. The Shiites, their religious leader is the Ayatollah of Iran. And if you don't know anything about the Middle East, Iran and Saudi Arabia have been in a cold war for 50 years. So which is it? It can't be both. It can't be an Iranian-backed group, but also it's a ISIS affiliate which again proceeds from some of these Saudi clerics that have been pushing this stuff for a long time, aided and enhanced by U.S. DOD support in the war in Syria, in the war in Iraq, Israeli assistance also, direct or indirect. It can't be both. And if they're claiming it's ISIS, here's my question. Where did ISIS come from all of a sudden? You ever notice this? ISIS took over the entire Middle East in 2013 after the Iraqi Civil War broke out, after we toppled Saddam Hussein. You have these Sunni fundamentalists fighting the Shiites that were allied with Iran. The United States was in bed with these people, giving them weapons, training them, trying to calm tensions. This is what eventually became ISIS. And across the border, hopped over into Syria. And in 2013, ISIS controlled all this territory. They were cutting off everybody's heads. And they're launching lone wolf attacks using their cells located in Europe, the United States, elsewhere. Trump gets elected in 2016. By 2017, ISIS is defeated. So they had a pretty good four or five year run. And we really haven't heard anything since. Do you remember the 2016 election? You had the Bataclan massacre in Paris. You had the truck attack in Nice. You had the attack in San Bernardino. You might remember these things. These are very high profile, visceral attacks. We all remember happening in a very short span of time, such that it didn't sound crazy when Trump said we need a Muslim ban and we're going to war with ISIS. And that war ended in about 7-8 months after Trump got elected. By roughly September, it was basically over. All of a sudden, we start hearing about ISIS all over again. There are terrorist attacks in Iran. Mysteriously, terrorist attacks at the grave of Qasem Soleimani last year. They say that was ISIS that did it when the United States withdrew from Afghanistan. We were so close to getting out clean. And then there was a terrorist attack at the base at Abbey Gate. Remember? Who did they blame it on? ISIS-K, ISIS Khorasan in Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Afghanistan. They were responsible for the attack and they're on the march and that's why we can never leave. Remember? And now there's a terrorist attack in Australia. All of a sudden, ISIS is back. So they really only tend to show their faces. They really only tend to pop up when they're needed for a mission. When Israel wants to sabotage and provoke Iran without being blamed for it or without upsetting some kind of geopolitical balance, well, that was ISIS. When the CIA wants to keep us in Afghanistan indefinitely, but Biden is hell-bent on withdrawing us, there goes ISIS again. And when Israel is chomping at the bit to restart the war in Gaza, to restart the war with Iran, when they want to make a final decisive push for censorship on the internet of those that support Hamas or sympathize with Hamas or Palestinians for that matter. Oh, here comes ISIS again with another attack. ISIS with another attack and a terrorist attack plotted for New Year's Eve in California. That is apparently pro-Palestine. They hate America for the most part, but all anybody wants to talk about is how they're pro-Palestine too. It's funny how that works. It's interesting how that works. So who knows? Now, when I say that, we really have no idea. Who really knows who these people are? And who trusts law enforcement at this point? And who honestly knows what these people are doing in the Philippines or where they came from, whether it's real or not? What I would say is this. At the end of the day, what we do know about these attacks and the media's attempt to spin it is that this is a war between Israel and Muslims. It is their war. It's not ours. This has nothing to do with Europeans. This has nothing to do with Christians. It has nothing to do with Americans, Australians. It has nothing to do with any of us. Okay? Whether this is orchestrated for the purpose of benefiting Israel, that's one thing, or it is merely being used to benefit Israel, and it is the result of anger at Israel. It's a distinction without a difference. Let's say these guys were organic, homegrown terrorists. Let's say it's real. Why do you think they targeted Hanukkah? It's because Muslims worldwide are watching Israel ethnically cleanse Gaza, watching them bomb Lebanon, bomb Iraq, Iran, Yemen with impunity. And I'm not saying that two wrongs make a right. I'm really not, because I don't think that the solution to killing is more killing. I don't think the solution to killing innocents is killing other innocents. I think it's equally reprehensible. It's absolutely evil. But let's not pretend like we don't know what's going on here. The people in Gaza are powerless. They have no advocate. They have no agent. Nobody is helping them. They're at Israel's mercy. Israel is absolutely slaughtering them. And then their allies go in the West and brag about it. They say there are no innocent Palestinians. The kids are innocent. They voted for Hamas. They should all die. And we should starve them. And I'm glad that they're starving to death. And this is what people say in the West. And sooner or later, some of these Muslims, and again, I'm not justifying it. I'm describing what happens. These people snap and they say, well, how about a taste of your own medicine? I think that's evil. I think that's wicked and reprehensible. But you can see how violence begets violence. This kind of Hatfield and McCoy violence, Israelis are trying to murder all these people and they think, oh, well, we're just going to do this and there will be no pendulum swinging. There's going to be no equal and opposite reaction. Here's the problem for all of us. These people are in our countries, Muslims, pro-Israel Jews. They're coming into our countries and they're battling it out. What are we doing? We're paying for this genocide and we have all these people living here. We're paying for the genocide, giving Israel the weapons to carry it out. Well, we have a large Muslim population. So does Australia. So does Europe. So we're paying for Israel's war of expansion there. Then the victims of this are going to create chaos and terrorist attacks in our countries where we've invited them in. And the war will continue in our homeland and Americans will die or Australians will die, whoever. And people say, well, you don't talk about Muslims enough. You don't blame Muslims. I am adamant that we should have none of these people here. We should have none of these foreigners here. And who brought them here in the first place? Because I recall that when in 1965, they took away the national origins quotas and they let in all these people from the third world, they let in all the barbarians. It was the Jewish lawyers, the Jewish groups that pushed the hardest. It was the American Jewish Committee. It was the American Jewish Congress. It was the ADL. It was these types of groups that were pushing this from the very beginning, calling us a melting pot. We have no identity. We don't have Christianity anymore because of the Establishment Clause. Now that the gates have been thrown open and these people are here, and now that they've brought the war with them, now everybody says, oh, it's Muslims, Muslims. I saw, for example, Finkelstein from Piers Morgan. He had a tweet last week where he said, I feel safe in London. I love diversity. They have great curry. The day after the attack in Australia, he goes, oy vey, I don't feel safe anymore. It's not safe to be in the West. In other words, when diversity was killing white people, no one gave a fuck. Now that diversity is killing Jews, oh, sound the alarm. Call the National Guard. I mean, that's literally how it goes. When diversity is destroying white countries, when diversity is killing white people, when diversity is erasing our heritage, hey, well, hey, man, America never was white. What even is white? Hey, man, it's about freedom and everything. Hey, the purpose of Europe is for everyone to come here. Oh, now diversity is getting Zohran Mamdani elected? Oh, now diversity has all these Muslims here that hate Israel? Oh, now the diversity has brought terrorism? Now it's a problem. Oh, now we need to stop everything and only ban Muslims, not Indians, not Hispanics, not Africans. Now we need to stop everything and only ban Muslims. And then we can resume the white genocide with everybody else. Are you kidding me? And it's a sensitive subject, but everybody knows that this is the politics of mass murder. This is the politics of mass murder and how it is used to justify certain political policies. Nobody loves this stuff more than organized Jewry. Nobody loved October 7th more than Israel, because look at what they have profited from it. And even the Israelis know that. They say it about Netanyahu. Nobody loves it more than them, because then they can parlay that into increasing the war against the native population. Think about what they're saying here about Australia. So you have Muslims in the country. They're training with ISIS. Let's assume it's not a conspiracy for a moment. They're fighting the war in Gaza on the streets of Sydney. What's the solution from the government? Ban anti-Semitism on the internet and take away more guns. Not ban the diversity, not roll back the white genocide, not remigrate the people. No, no. Take civil liberties from white people. Keep the immigration from everywhere else and take more civil liberties from white people. That's literally the program. We fight their wars, then we take the refugees. The refugees kill us, and then we lose our civil liberties. Like, this is what it feels like to be raped. And what I would say to Jewish people who are afraid, fortunately for you, you have somewhere you can escape to. I'm sure Jewish people are feeling scared, and I'm sorry that that is the case. I do feel sorry for them, actually. And to some extent, that is real. They do have to look over their shoulders because there is a lot of anti-Semitism, and honest to God, I sympathize with that. But what I would say to Jewish people or anyone that considers me an anti-Semite, here's the difference. If Jewish people feel unsafe in London, in Australia, in America, there's always somewhere they know they can go where they will be safe. And I'm not saying that like, so you should get out of here. I'm saying think of what that confers upon them as a group. If Australia is lost, I'm sure many Jewish Australians would be beaten up about that, but not very much, because they could get on a plane and go to Israel. And they will be greeted by their own kind, where they take care of each other, look after each other, where they can be Jewish unapologetically, where they can be among their own kind. What happens to all of us? So Jewish people don't feel safe. They move to Israel happily ever after. If Australians don't feel safe, where do they go? The UK, where they came from? Well, it's happening in the UK too. Where do they go? Saxony? Well, it's happening there too. Where do they go? Norway? Where do they go? The Caucasus? Wherever they... There's nowhere they can go. This is what is happening. Jewish people came here as refugees and immigrants from Russia and Poland. And they came here and said, oy vey, everyone's anti-Semitic. We need to fight racism. We need to fight all barriers to entry for immigrants and minorities. So they started agitating and advocating for civil rights and mass migration and get Christianity out of the schools. They bring these people here. Then as they once freed up, after they built Israel, they used their influence to bring America to war in the Middle East. And we go to war in Afghanistan. We take their refugees who kill us. We go to war in Iraq. We take the refugees who kill us. We go to war. We're bombing Pakistan. We take the refugees. They kill us. Then, on the offhand chance, they actually target Jewish people. What do? Take away civil liberties from the white people. And there's just got to be a better way than that. Take our country. Take our cultural primacy. Take our lives, then take away our civil liberties, and then there's not going to be a country, and then we're just screwed. Then we're just done. And that's the dynamic. They want us to blame it on Muslims. Look, we don't want large numbers of Muslims in the country. They do extremism sometimes, and of course they have a completely different religion. That being said, it's not really about that. Jewish people don't want Muslims here because Jewish people are killing them in the Middle East. And as long as they're doing that, Jewish people can't live near Muslims anywhere. That's really what it is. It's really that simple. The Jews are in a war with all Muslims. Tom Barrack said that this week. He's the envoy to Syria. He said, Israel can't be at war with all Muslims forever. So the Jews can't live with Muslims in Gaza. They can't live with them in Jordan. They can't live with them in Syria, in Lebanon. They can't live with them in Australia here. They can't live with them anywhere. And it's because of what is happening. It's not to victim blame, but it is to say this is part of a protracted war, a total war without limitations, and it's happening on both sides. And it's happening in our country with our money, with our missiles, and it's being used to accelerate our own decline. So I would say in the fight between Jews and Muslims, I'm on team Christianity. It's called taking your own side. I'm taking my own side on this one, which is to say, you know, Tommy Robinson, you want Muslims out, you want Indians in? Fuck you. What's the difference for anybody other than Jews? Tommy Robinson, who has never met an unsucked Jewish cock he hasn't fallen in love with. Tommy Robinson, forgive me for the vulgarity, he goes out and says, oh, well, it's fine if England is taken over by India because of the curry and they're great and they work hard. Oh, but Muslims, get them out. No, sorry, that doesn't work. Muslims are spreading their influence in the United Kingdom. Oh, more Jewish lawyers, more Jewish billionaires. No, no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Pakistan and India, they're the same country, actually. They were partitioned because of religion. It's really the same thing. And they all got to go back. And whether the Middle Eastern money is coming from Israel or Qatar or Saudi Arabia or Jewish billionaires in New York, doesn't make a difference. They all must be disempowered. All of their influence must be curtailed. That's the answer. So that's my take on the situation in Australia. Again, of course, it doesn't make it right. It's a horrible tragedy. It's a tragedy when Israelis kill Palestinians in Gaza. It's a tragedy when Muslims kill random Jews in Australia. It's murder. It is a sin. It will land you in hell. And I don't believe in revenge in that way. You know, we don't believe in an eye for an eye like that, in the way that you see a lot of these Muslim Islamist types, whatever that is, whether they're ops, whether they're real, we don't condone that. We don't believe in that. That being said, let's not be stupid. This is a total war between two groups of people, and it's now visited every continent where we live now.